let's give our attention to God's word, Isaiah 21, 11 to 17, and then 23, 1 to 18. So 21, 11 says, "The oracle concerning Duma, one is calling to me from Seir, watchman, what time of the night? Watchman, what time of the night? The watchman says, morning comes, and also the night. If you inquire, inquire, and come back again. The oracle concerning Arabia, in the thickets in Arabia you will lodge, O caravans of Dedanites. To the thirsty bring water, meet the fugitive with bread, O inhabitants of the land of Tema. For they have fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the press of battle. For thus the Lord said to me, within a year, according to the years of a hired worker, all the glory of Kedar will come to an end. All the remainder of the archers of the mighty men of the sons of Kedar will be few. For the Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken." And then jump over to chapter 23. The oracle concerning Tyre. "Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them, be still, O inhabitants of the coast, the merchants of Sidon, who crossed the sea, have filled you. And on many waters, your revenue was the grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile, and you were the merchant of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither labored nor given birth. I have neither reared young men nor brought up young women. When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city, whose origin is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? Who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored ones of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it, to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon, arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people that was not. Assyria destined for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare and made her a ruin. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is laid waste. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre, as in the song of the prostitute. Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord." Amen. God's word. Let me encourage you from three perspectives. I think I've got three perspectives. We'll find out. One perspective is that before the Lord comes, we live day by day. We go to sleep, we wake up, we do what the day brings. We go to sleep, we wake up, we do what the day brings. Time passes, days pass, years pass. Seasons come and go. There are stretches of good times in a nation and stretches of bad times. We look around the world and we see that some places in the world are doing well, other places are doing poorly. We see that some places in the world are responding to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other places are rather dark and perhaps even oppressive and deadly towards Christians. Sometimes we wonder, as we bump along through life like this, day by day, week by week, year by year, season by season, we begin to wonder what will be. We know from the life and teaching of Jesus that night will come, that there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of justice. So one perspective we have is sort of the humdrum of life. We think of Solomon. We think of maybe the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything is meaningless. You know, I've toiled. I've had everything. It boils down to this: fear God and keep the commandments. It doesn't matter what goes on around us. In the humdrum of life, we fear God and keep the commandments. And all the chaos and the ups and downs will, well, it'll keep going. We don't need to worry too much about it because it's just going to keep going. And last week we looked that in the midst of the humdrum of life, God is doing so many wonderful things. So many wonderful things. He, even though we have sinned against him, even though this world is cursed, his common grace, his rain falling on the just and the unjust, is a very sweet and wonderful thing. So while the world may be up and down and all around, we need to remember God is at work. His providence falls on the just and the unjust. I love how R.C. Sproul, when asked, does God love everyone? He says, yes, in a beneficent sort of way. God gives good things to bad people. But does God love everyone in a saving way? That answer is no. He only loves those for whom Christ died. The rest are his enemies and will face his wrath. That any of us are loved by God is what is amazing, right? So one perspective would be kind of the ho-hum, humdrum of life. Don't lose heart. Second perspective is our eternal one. We know Jesus is going to come back. We know that. He said it. He promised it. It's what the scriptures keep promising. And we see, as we read the Bible from beginning to end, we see the beginning of God work by calling a people to himself, a nation for himself. We see him rescue and redeem them from Egypt and from Pharaoh, from the surrounding king and the kings in the periods of the judges. We see him warn his people, carry them off to exile, bring them back. We see them prosper. We see them suffer. We see Jesus come on the scene. And we have now the down payments of the new heavens and the new earth. We are made new in Christ Jesus. We are not yet what we shall be, but the beginning has come. And I think the really important thing for us to think of, especially when maybe the humdrum of life gets a little old and we say, what's the meaning of it all? But also in this election season, when things are getting pretty bad, we need to remember that God has a throne. And it is the throne of David. And he promised that an offspring of David would sit on that throne. And that offspring is King Jesus. And King Jesus is aware of everything that goes on the face of the earth. He is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. And so whatever is happening in our politics or over on the continents of Europe and Asia and Africa and wherever else, all of those people are under King Jesus. And so perhaps we're thinking about our political season, and we're thinking about what is and what may be, or what has been, that we can be unburdened from. It's a joke, in case y'all didn't catch that. Be unburdened by what has been. As all of this comes across our mind, we need to remember this is not all there is. And though kingdoms rise and pomp and circumstance rise, it's not the end all be all. And one more perspective just to think about in general. We've got the humdrum of life. We've got the big picture of the end when Jesus comes and makes all things new and rules and reigns. We're living in pretty bad times. And I know we think on it. We dwell on it. We see it in the news. We see it in culture. If you're watching all the preparations for the Democratic National Convention that begins tomorrow, perhaps you saw that they are offering outside the convention, I guess it's like a food truck. They got tacos and sandwiches and heroes and whatever else, but they have a abortion truck. You can get a free abortion. What a way to celebrate democracy. You can also, if you're a guy, you can, you know, I guess get spayed or neutered, whichever it is. They're offering all that. Now, that is so wild and so dark. And we live among Gentiles. We live among people who do not fear God. And the depths of their evil, the depths of their wickedness is far beyond what we know, but God is restraining it. But I do think we're living in a time where that evil is less and less restrained, and we are seeing evil. I saw an article that said this: these are the two sacraments of this national cult. And so before they coronate their leader, before they coronate their king, they must sacrifice children. That is their altar. Those are their sacraments. And so before their leader rises to power, as it were, at least for the election cycle, who knows what November will bring, only the Lord, and we pray for mercy. But they are sacrificing. They are sacramental in their religion before Almighty God. What a sad, sad thought. And all of this in light of what we've been reading in Isaiah. I know Isaiah is a here and there and all around sort of book. It does have some common themes and some common blessings. That would be King Jesus will sit on David's throne. That would be the suffering servant will come and do his work. It is that nations like Babylon, though they rise, they will fall. And perhaps you may see this week things in our national politics, much like Babylon, where they partied for 6 months, and they drank and ate for 6 months, and they lived in their opulence for months. But remember, the gospel warning in the book of Hebrews, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so we ought to live in fear and trembling, not of what goes on this earth, but what God will do if we are not found in Christ Jesus. So those are three perspectives to think of. I hope they make sense to you. I hope they aren't the ramblings of a tired preacher. And if they are, maybe God will bless them to you. But I want us to think for a few moments about the three oracles that are in this passage tonight. There's an oracle against Duma in 21, 11, and 12. There's an oracle against Arabia in 21, 13 to 17. And then in chapter 23, there is an oracle against Tyre and Sidon. Now, the first two oracles are really a play on words. The first two oracles are going to be oracles that a stretch of darkness will fall over the Gentile nations. And then chapter 23, we may could have taken it on its own, but I'm trying not to have us so bogged down where we're in the book of Isaiah for 19 years. I don't want to be like Martin Lloyd-Jones and preach, you know, 5 years on Romans 8 or something like that. Nothing wrong with that. 10 years on Romans 8, yeah. So think about this first oracle in chapter 21, 11, and 12, the oracle against Duma. It says, "One is calling to me from Seir," that would be the wilderness outside of Israel, "Watchman, what time of the night? Watchman, what time of the night?" And the watchman says, "Morning comes, but also the night. If you will inquire, and come back again." The oracle concerning Duma. Duma is a real place. It's a real city name. But it's also a word connected to darkness or towards evening. Maybe some of your translations, instead of Duma, have eventide or evening. And so God is giving, actually the word also is connected to the word silence. And so God is letting the humdrum of life go on. He's beginning to unrestrain evil and letting it go a bit. And so the question is asked doubly, O keeper, what remains of the night? What remains of the night? How much longer this evil? How much longer the restlessness of the nations, the sword rattling? And what does the watchman say? Morning will come. And you start to get a moment of hope. But what does he backtrack and say very quickly? But night's coming. And then he says, but ask again. And so you get this idea, you know, yes, God is going to come do great and gracious things for his people, but there's night coming. Yes, morning is coming, but first, night. First, silence. First, hardship. And so we have these cryptic sort of messages, like this oracle against Duma. And then you have the second one, the oracle against Arabia in verses 13 to the 17. "In the thickets in Arabia you will lodge, the caravans of the Dedanites. To the thirsty bring water, meet the fugitive with bread, O inhabitants in the land of Tema, for they have fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow." So as there is evening, as there is darkness, as there is silence, there's the scattering of people. Nations are invaded. Things disrupt regular life. I don't imagine any of us have been refugees before. Maybe the only thing we've had to take refuge from is a hurricane. We were at the coast and had to leave. Or maybe we had to board up the house. Maybe some of you lived back during some of the civil rights riots and you had to take care because there was unrest. Maybe you had a curfew. But we've never experienced anything like perhaps the Palestinians now with a shelled out region. Or think of people back in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. They've had to flee, or Ukraine. They've had to flee their war-torn countries for their life and to have health and safety again. And so these people are scattered into the night. These people are living in the bushes. And it says, to the thirsty, bring water, meet the fugitive with bread. And so people are scattering out into the outer reaches of the promised land. They're getting out into the wilderness. And so God is encouraging that people flee to David, people flee to Jesus, people flee from death to life. But that's not what they do. And God says in verse 16, thus says the Lord, within a year, according to the years of a hired worker, all the glory of Kedar will come to an end, all the remainder of the archers of the mighty men of the sons of Kedar will be few, for the Lord God has spoken. And so you have these oracles, these two oracles that speak of darkness, speak of silence, speak of refugee situations, and speak of a bit of hopelessness. These messages, remember, are really for Israel. They are for God's people. Obey God and you can keep living in your spot. Obey God and you'll continue to have blessings. But when you don't, you're going to be living in the bushes. You're going to be living in foreign nations. You're going to be fleeing and needing food and water from others. Now, the oracle against Tyre and Sidon in chapter 23 is a whole different ballgame. You might think of a city in our modern day that flourishes because of imports and exports. Maybe you go to Charleston, North Charleston, and you see all the shipping containers on the river. You go to ports like New York or Los Angeles, where tons of imports come in and are spread throughout the nation. Our goods and services go out as well to surrounding nations. And so Tyre and Sidon, a fortified city on the coast just north of Israel, was a powerful place. And as you read chapter 23, you begin to get the idea that their shipping, their harbor, their trade, but also their power are things that are very important to them. It speaks of them as king makers. You know, a little bitty city like Tyre, it's not a nation, it's not a vast piece of land, but it's a commercial power. We think of nations in today's part of the world like Taiwan. Why does China want to invade Taiwan? Does it have this vast piece of land they want? No, they want their technology. They want their ability to make circuitry for computers and phones. They've mastered the clean room, right? They've mastered the ability to make circuit boards and phone circuits and things like that. And everybody wants their technology. Even Americans can't make it the same. Of course, you know, if you get a hold of that, you can control much of the world. And so while Tyre and Sidon are a very small place, they're powerful. They're king makers. Their money and their influence have far-reaching places. Their ships, the ships of Tarshish, they were called, could go anywhere. They could make that Mediterranean trip from their corner all the way to Spain. They could sail down the Nile and collect the grain and other agricultural goods from the vast and fruitful land of Egypt, and they could carry it all over the place. They were good. They were skilled at their trade and at their abilities. And one of the things to remember, we've talked about the humdrum of life, wake up day by day, year by year, season by season. Just the humdrum of life. Then we talked about the future, Jesus, ruling, and then we talked about specific things going on around us. Well, what's going on in Tarshish or in Arabia or in Duma or in the other nations God has mentioned? Well, they're evil, and their scheming and even their success by God's common grace has gone well, but it's risen to a level of evil. It's risen to a level where God feels it is necessary for him to deal with it. And so he will deal with it. But notice how at the end of chapter 23, God says something mighty and powerful. The nation is wicked. The people are wicked. But what will happen with the wealth? What will happen with the wealth? It will enter into the city of God, and it will fund the temple. It will fund the worship of God, just like Egypt's gold and silver made the tabernacle, just like the gold and silver of Persia and then Babylon helped rebuild the second temple in Ezra Nehemiah's day, so too will the riches of Tarshish will supply Judah. And God always has a way to make things right. We can't always see it. We think, maybe like I do, we want a good election this year. We want this president, not that president. And we think, and rightly so, that will be good for us. But think bigger. Think King Jesus. Think bigger. Think King Jesus restraining evil and sometimes letting it loose because we deserve his chastisement. And think bigger. Maybe we don't win in November. You know, we don't get our win. Our vote is cast, but it doesn't go that way. That's under God's sovereignty, isn't it? That's under King Jesus' sovereignty. But God's going to scatter the proud. He's going to make all things right and new. And so while there may be evening, while there may be silence, while there may be darkness, while there may be people seeking refuge, God is God and he is on his throne. And the future of his people is set. It is firm. It is fixed. And we can have great trust in that. Remember this as you go this evening. People don't fear God. And it's going to be a terrible thing when they fall into the hands of an angry God. Their wealth and their pomp and their circumstance will do nothing for them. But how great will be the day of God's wrath. And so be grateful to be found in King Jesus. And you'll be safe in his arms. And what a great comfort that is. Let's do pray before God. Lord, help us to remember the bigger picture, not to get lost in the daily humdrum of life. Help us to remember King Jesus. Help us to remember God and his sovereignty and his restraining power. And give us the comfort we need tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.